From up in the nosebleeds to down to the 50-yard line, wherever you watch the game, this is the place to sound off. Sports Talk with Jock on 770 CHQR.
As we know, COVID-19 is a very deadly virus. It has decimated the economy. It has completely shut down the sports world. And I'll tell you what, I hope this is not a new trend, but the first professional sports league is now done because of the coronavirus. And I'm talking about the XFL. The XFL, the first time around in 2001, I thought it was a little gimmicky. And even though they made it through the season with the Los Angeles Extreme winning the XFL championship, I don't think a lot of people at the time really thought the XFL had staying power. But I will say this, I thought XFL 2.0 was actually pretty good. They got off to a great start. They had very, very good TV ratings. I like some of the innovation in the rule changes that they brought to the game. But unfortunately, the XFL 2.0 was brought to its knees by COVID-19. And maybe this was inevitable anyway. Maybe it wasn't going to survive. But I don't think this is a day to celebrate. If you're in the sports world, this is a day to be very, very disappointed, because this is the effect that this virus is having not only on the economy worldwide, but the sports world. XFL 2.0, if you're just joining us, filed for bankruptcy earlier today. They made it through five games in the season. After five games, COVID, the pandemic struck. The league had to be shut down. Vince McMahon, to his credit, said he would pay out all the players, but today, here we are on April the 13th, the XFL has had to file for bankruptcy. The league is technically for sale. I don't think anybody is going to rush out and buy the XFL. It's all part of the bankruptcy procedure, but I think it's safe to say XFL 2.0 is done. And again, this is not a day to celebrate if you are a fan of football. He was part of XFL 1.0. He was with that Los Angeles Extreme team that won a championship. He is back in the Canadian Football League. He's worked so many years with the Calgary Stampeders. Now he is a member of the Hamilton Tiger Cats. It's a real pleasure to be joined by my good friend Jim Barker on Sports Talk with Jock. Hey, Jim, first of all, are you staying safe and healthy?
I am. I'm good. I'm self-contained here all by myself in my condo in Toronto.
Good for you, my friend. Good for you. And that's what we have to do. And we will come out of this, and hopefully we come out of this stronger than ever. But right now we're right smack dab in the middle of it. And when you got the news today of the XFL filing for bankruptcy, probably didn't surprise you, Jim. But as I said, I don't think this is a day to celebrate. Even if you are a fan of the Canadian Football League and the CFL establishes itself firmly as the number two football league in the world, this is not good news for football.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, it does solidify the fact that I will probably have one of only 50 XFL championship rings ever earned. But you're right. It's sad. They were trying to do things the right way. I was part of 1.0. And honestly, when they dropped it back then, everybody was on a high. We had just had the $1 million game, which was $1 million, winner take all. Mm-hmm. And everybody was on a high. And Vince McMahon said, the rings are going to be spectacular. And they had talked to me about potentially being the new head coach in Philadelphia at the beginning of the week of meetings that they had. And then something happened right toward the end of the week that had to do with the TV contract, and he decided to pull the plug. And I went from early in the week thinking I was going to be called to be a head coach in that league to getting called and saying there was no more, and that it was going to be done with. And that's never fun. Now, we were different because the XFL then, again, it's part of what Vince McMahon learned, I guess. We were part of the WWE. So we actually, all assistant coaches got paid for another full year and benefits for
really?
A full year.
Okay, I didn't know that.
And that's what people don't realize is a lot of people, a lot of coaches, I mean, Vince McMahon stood in front of us and said, this is going to be 3 years. And we had coaches move from all over the country to L.A. and take out long-term leases. And, I mean, there was a lot of families affected. And to just stop paying, they were going to pay us through the end of May. They dropped it the beginning of May. They were going to stop paying us at the end of May. And it's like you put families in unreasonable situations. You know, they're in places that are not their normal homes. They some of them move their families out because you expect, you know, it's going to last. And so it was it was sad because I'd been there and I sent June Jones a note and you know, it's sad. It's not good for anything, and this virus is real, and it is affecting all facets of how we live our life. And I don't know that the world will ever be the same.
I have to agree with you, and that's a scary thought, because when we do come out of it, we don't know what the world is going to look like. We don't know what the sports world is going to look like. Let me ask you this question, because it's a little hypothetical. Was the XFL 2.0 on the right track? Did you think, when you watched the first five games, you know, I know their TV ratings declined a little bit. Their attendance in some markets wasn't great. But again, I thought they were on the right track. Did you think they had better staying power this year?
You know, they were similar to us in that they had a lot of, again, it comes down to, you know, do people want to go watch PJ Walker play quarterback, or Matt McGloin, the guy from the Raiders, and, you know, Jordan Tamu was actually an exciting, interesting guy to watch. They had some players that were exciting and interesting, but for the most part, it was not going to draw people, and the gambling on it, because it was such a crapshoot and people didn't know the teams real well and didn't know the players or the coaches, or, I mean, they were only five games in. If gambling could have gotten going, maybe it would have had a chance, but it was, it started out just like our league started out. Shoot. We were, that opening night game when, you know, they did the whole coin toss and the mm-hmm. kid separated his shoulder. And I mean, it was, our league didn't know when his first time through, he didn't know what he wanted to be. We had, you know, he went to players and asked them about, you know, we want to set up this thing like you're having an affair with a cheerleader. And they're like, I've got kids in school. I'm not doing that. And you know, so they thought they were going to be more like wrestling. And then they saw, well, you can't really do that. Let's be as good at football as we can be. So toward the end of our season, it became much more just about football. And, you know, it was So I think he learned a lot. He came back and it was strictly just about football in this XFL 2.0. And, you know, he had a lot of good football people involved, a lot of people that were from, you know, that went down from Canada. There was a lot of coaches down there that mm-hmm. have coached up here. And, you know, there were players who had gotten out of their contracts and were down there playing. And so, you know, it was a league that I think drew some interest, but in reality, people aren't going to pay money to go watch the players they had play. There was just no. It's kind of like arena football and that kind of thing. That when you don't know the players and you have trouble identifying that, it makes it tougher, I think, to sell.
Fair enough. So let me ask you this. XFL 1.0 didn't make it. The Alliance League of American Football didn't make it. Now XFL 2.0 didn't make it. Is this the end for somebody actually, you know, trying and restarting a spring league? Maybe the United States of America just doesn't want it, because when the best players, as you say, already play in the NFL, I don't know how you make spring football work there.
You may be right, Jock. I don't think I would say there won't be another league. I think there'll be a league that maybe plays even in the fall.
Okay.
And they'll play Tuesday and Wednesday nights or something along those lines. There may be a developmental, you know, a league between high school and when they can get drafted in the NFL. I know there's been talk about that, and Don Yee has been involved in that, and I've been involved in with him for 3 years talking about different things that he'd like to get done. Okay. Again, it comes down to money and what people are willing to pay for and what kind of TV money can they get. And, you know, those are the things that determine the success of a league. You know, there's different ways of, for example, the Arena League has to draw people to the seats. Oh, they don't even have an arena. It's called indoor football now.
Right.
The Canadian League, we need to have people in the seats. That's part of the business plan. If you have teams not drawing, it makes it difficult. So, you know, I think it's tough to create interest in markets. I think there was, you know, you're going to get those 20,000 fans that are going to, because this can be their thing. I mean, that happened in the XFL. I mean, we played, I think our first game in the Coliseum, we had close to 40,000, but then it went down and it was normally right around 20, you know. I think it's difficult. Somebody's going to try again. I promise you somebody's going to try. It's going to happen. Will it ever be successful in my lifetime? That's a tough one to predict. I would have a hard time betting on it. But again, I think some of the things the CFL is doing with the global, trying to get other countries involved and things along those lines, and there's only one NFL, you know, bodes well for the CFL.
I agree.
There are a lot of players in other countries around the world that can play and want to play, and there is interest in Europe and all over the globe in football. And the more of those players that start to get experience, I think I'm not going to put a number, 30 to 40 guys who played Division I football who are going to be classified as global players in our league because they were born in wherever their
different countries
football was. Yeah. So there's going to be a possibility where there's a glut of players and somebody somewhere is going to come up with it. And that's going to be the next thing I think that happens.
Interesting.
Is a global league where you have teams all over the world. Now the travel becomes a bit of an issue, but you know, where Germany is playing Brazil, and Mexico is playing a team based in Canada, you know, I just think that's going to be the next kind of thing that somebody tries to do. But you know, will it ever be successful and happen in my life? Who knows? With this virus, you know, if they don't find a vaccine for it, there, you know, it's going to be just really interesting to see what happens with sports everywhere.
Well, you're right, because it's going to be so tough to put people into, you know, whether it's 20,000 or 100,000 people into a stadium, you know, without a virus, I don't see how that happens. So I agree there. And hey, the Stampeders signed a player today, a defensive lineman, Jordan Harold, who, you know, played his college football in Missouri. But where did he play last year? He played in the Mexican Football League. So just to your point of the world out there, there are more and more people playing this sport globally, without a doubt. And again, I don't think this is a day to celebrate for the Canadian Football League, because you want other leagues to have success, and competition is good for you. But what I think it does, Jim, and it basically does solidify the Canadian Football League as the number two league in the world, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, and I'm not sure that the XFL coming in was threatening that anyway. They played a 10-game season. You know, you can't. It takes time to develop credibility, and the CFL is older than the NFL. The CFL was around before the NFL was around. So there was a time when the NFL was second to the CFL. Now, they've obviously passed the CFL. But to anybody, I mean, this is, they are different games. They're similar, but they're different in that this is three-down football. It's the greatest three-down football in the world. And I think one of the things Randy Ambrosi's trying to do is sell the concept of three-down football all over the globe. He's trying to get, and I know there's some countries that are saying this fits better with our model because we can use soccer fields because our field is 65 yards wide where an American field is only 53 1/3.
Right.
It's much easier for them to take the facilities they have and put a Canadian Football League field and play three down football than it is to try to go to put American football fields in the inside of their soccer field. So there's a lot of things that, you know, again, make the Canadian Football League so unique. And I don't look at it as second. I look at it as the greatest three-down football in the world.
That's a great way to put it.
They play the greatest four-down football in the world in the U.S. And that's great. And I think that is what Randy Ambrosi's trying to do is he is trying to get people around the world to understand the greatness of three down football. And I think that's part of what the whole global thing is. Cause once that happens, now the revenues get better. And when the revenues get better, more players want to play here. And it snowballs. So, you know, there's some great things happening for this league, and you know, this whole virus thing. Well, who knows what's going to happen with that? No, nobody does. But it's just kind of an exciting time. So, again, I've never thought of the CFL as second to the NFL. We've been playing football, the sport of football, longer than they have there.
That's fantastic.
And yeah, and It is what it is. It's a different game.
Hey, do you have time for one more quick segment? I want to ask you about your kicker that signed with the LA Rams today. He is Jim Barker, a former XFL employee, won a championship with the XFL. That was XFL 1.0. Now, of course, he is a long-time employee, not only of the Calgary Stampeders, but with the Hamilton Tiger Cats. More with Jim when we come back. This is Sports Talk with Jock on Global News Radio 770 CHQR. That was fantastic, my friend. I appreciate Jim Barker, a special guest here on Sports Talk with Jock. We only got a couple of more minutes here with Jim, but Jim, I did want to reach out to you because you said you did talk to June Jones, who did leave Canada to go join the XFL. And how did he take the news? Is he okay?
Yeah, you know, he has a lot of respect for Vince McMahon and what he tried to do and for that league. And June is that guy. He's never going to be down on anything.
Right.
And, you know, he claimed he believes he won the championship, and rightfully so. They were undefeated, 5-0. And I, you know,
give him a ring.
I said, well, there'll be no ring. I said, I've got an XFL ring. It might look like it's out of a Cracker Jack box, but it's still an XFL ring.
So true. Hey, since I got you on, you are now one of the assistant coaches with the Hamilton Tiger Cats, a team that played for a Grey Cup championship here in our city. Are you over the pain of that one yet, or?
You never get over it. I mean, you know, I've been to, this is my fifth one, and I've never lost one. So I don't know, it just never even dawned on me that we wouldn't win. And, you know, and that's what makes the CFL so great. I mean, you know, it's hard to beat any team three times, and we had beaten them twice during the season. And, you know, it's just... They played great. I mean, Osh had them ready to play, and I wish it could have been a better game.
Yeah.
That's all. You know, you wish it could have been a better game.
And, a few key mistakes early, eh? A few key mistakes early that just cost you guys big time.
Yeah. And you know, there's no excuses. It's that kind of thing. When a team starts to get momentum, and I thought they beat us up front. I thought that It was old school, the way football is supposed to be played in the cold in Calgary, although it was actually a beautiful week, but it was still cold. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the running game and the ability to stop the run is what wins games in football. Yeah. It doesn't matter whether it's three down football or four down football. You still have to be able to run the ball and stop the run. And I thought they did a better job of that, and that's why they won.
Yeah, I've only got about a minute left, but today some interesting news. Your kicker in Hamilton, and I'm not sad to see him leave, because I always have a tough time pronouncing his name. But Liram Haralahu, he signs with the LA Rams today. So good for Liram to get a chance with the NFL.
Yeah, that is really exciting news and exciting for the CFL. It's great to watch our guys go down and have a chance, and hopefully he gets a great opportunity. And you know, it's in that league, if you're a kicker, you better make them all.
No room for error.
They change kickers faster than anybody. They're going to have zero tolerance. So I wish Liram all the best. He's a great kid, and we had him in Toronto here, and then he went to Hamilton. And yeah, he's just, you know, he's valuable up here. He's a Canadian who can do all three. Now he's focusing just on place kicking, and he kicked this year off the ground, which he hadn't. When he had kicked with me in Toronto, he had to use a tee.
Always use the
tee. So he kicked off the ground this year, and if he used a tee, maybe that one against Calgary wouldn't have got blocked by Trey Roberson.
Yeah, you forget about those little intricacies, don't you? So Trey's now in the NFL, and Lerm's in the NFL.
And I knew I was talking to the folks in Calgary and knew they'd get a kick out of that one.
Jim, it's always good catching up. I really appreciate your time as always. Stay safe, stay healthy, and keep well, my friend. Hopefully we're playing in the Canadian Football League this year, but we never know. So just fingers crossed.
All right, Jocko. Great to talk to you as always, and we'll talk again soon.
You betcha. Jim Barker with the Hamilton Tiger Cats talking about the demise of the XFL second time around as they declare bankruptcy today. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, the Masters Rewind. Yeah, that was going on this weekend. And how about the future of the NHL season? This is Sports Talk with Jock.
Partly cloudy and 2 degrees in downtown Calgary. Good evening from Global News. It's 7:30. I'm Haley Jarmain. Alberta's chief medical officer of health says the province is expanding the eligibility of COVID-19 testing to anyone with a fever, cough, runny nose, shortness of breath, or sore throat. Dr. Dina Hinshaw says the most effective way to arrange testing is to complete the Alberta Health Services online assessment form. There's been 81 new cases of COVID-19 in Alberta in the last 24 hours, bringing the total to 1,032. There's also been two additional deaths, bringing the total to 46. Ottawa says 5.4 million Canadians are receiving emergency federal aid through the Canada Emergency Response Benefit. Hundreds of thousands more claims are waiting to be processed in the economic fallout from COVID-19. Liberals are likely to soon broaden the scope of the benefit to include workers currently being left out. Clouds tonight with a low of -3. Tomorrow, cloudy with some late day flurries, but still a daytime high of 7. It's 2 degrees. Breaking news when it happens. Our next news at 8 o'clock. I'm Haley Jarmain.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.